Christy Tees podcast is brought to you with the support of the Royal Pavilion and Museums.
Hello and welcome to my third podcast in association with the Royal Pavilion and Museums. This one's pretty gay, ahead of Brighton Pride. I spoke to Museum Late's organiser Ellie Newland, who's put together a whole bunch of late events at Brighton Museum, but in particular the Out Late. Then I had a chat with Kelly Boddington and Rob White. Kelly and Rob curated an LGBT trail that unearths a load of previously unnoticed queer stories and historic gay culture connected to objects throughout Brighton Museum. You can access their trail on the Royal Pavilion and Museums app, or you can find a leaflet at the entrance to the museum. It's a really fascinating and unusual way of visiting the museum. You learn a whole load of stuff you wouldn't have found out otherwise. I loved it. So first, Ellie, I was stupid enough to do these interviews in the cafe when it was fairly busy, so there's a lot of background noise, but I'm sure we'll deal with that.
How did you first get involved with the museum?
Years ago, I was over doing like reception work and admin here. Then I went away, trained to be a teacher, did some teaching for a bit, and then I came back here and did some work for the learning team and took on some kind of freelance projects and that type of thing. So I've got quite a long history with the place and I love it a lot.
So it came to the role of doing the lates from already working?
Yeah, from already knowing the museum, already having run, you know, some fairly successful events here. And then I was asked to head up the programme, which I was super excited about because it's something that I really wanted to do. And it's been great, it's been really good. So we've had five different lates now and we've got our sixth one coming up very soon indeed. So yeah, we're getting there.
They've all had different themes.
Sure, so we've tried to tie the theme of the late as far as possible into things that are going on within the museum space already. So we had Fashionably Late, which tied into our Bieber and Beyond exhibition. We had Shoot the Late, which is when we had Jeff Keane, and we had a kind of film themed late. We've had a Valentine's themed late. We've had an environment themed late. And then our last late was all about the Jeff Koons exhibition. It was called Play Late. So it was all about unpicking some of the themes within the Jeff Koons exhibition of the kind of more sinister side of childhood and play,
yeah,
and turning the whole museum into a bit of a creepy playground, really.
What bits of them have you most loved?
I think probably just because the most people came to it, I think Fashionably Late, it was really, really good. So we got a lot of people turning up for that already in fancy dress, got a lot of people dressing up. We had people doing Bieber-style makeovers and making some amazing Perspex jewellery. We had kind of queues out the door for that. And yeah, it just felt really buzzy and really exciting.
The Bieber really caught people's imagination.
It really, really did. And we got such an amazing age range. So I think it was from about 14 to people in their 80s. So
that's amazing.
It was amazing.
What do you most enjoy about putting these events together? Because it seems like it's just loads of hard work.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work, but you do get quite a lot of creative input. So you're given a theme, you're given a budget, and then you can decide what events go on within that space. So I quite like kind of thinking quite creatively about it, seeing what works, what people like to get involved with, and then bringing back some of the same things, mixing it up a bit, and just really pushing the boundaries of how you can use a museum space.
Tell me about Out Late, which is the one that's just coming up.
It's our cheekiest late yet, actually. So it's happening on Thursday the 25th of July from 7 till 10, and it is a pre-Pride party. So it's really for the LGBT community, but also everyone generally fabulous. And we're putting on a whole host of ridiculously over-the-top camp things. So we've got a confessional booth with a priest taking people's coming out confessions. Obviously we've got fancy dress, we've got drag queen makeover station with like eyelashes, glitter, all of that
That's
stuff.
That's pretty tempting.
Yeah, we've got a little section where you can go and get involved in animation. So we're making like rainbow animations. We're going to make a collaborative, very brightly coloured piece, and that's going to be screened in the 20th Century Gallery at the end of the evening. You can make little slogan badges for Pride. I'm sure I've forgotten half the things, but yeah, I think it's just a creative, fun space and hopefully a bit more fun than just going down the pub. Just ordered a Guess Who board off eBay and I'm going to make gay icons Guess Who. and maybe Gay Icon Snap if I've got time, so we can get involved in some of the
get some camp games going as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Got to be done.
Are you going to do some form of single, not single, badge system
in this cafe? Probably we're going to be running speed flirting, probably hosted by Marlena Dietrich.
So once you've figured out what a late's going to be about, and you've got your brief and your budget, what are the first things you do to get going on organising it?
First thing I do, probably take a blank sheet of paper and start brainstorming all the different things that we could possibly bring in to that late, which usually ends up being a massively long list. Then I would go back through that list probably and scratch out anything that's going to be really, really expensive or really, really time consuming, because time and money are what we don't have. And then I'd look for there being a balance of maybe performance, so things that people can watch, but more importantly than that, the interactive thing. So it's really, really important that people can come along into this space and get involved with stuff, get stuck into stuff. So, you know, arts and craft things or whatever, and make sure we've got loads of that going on. Then I might think about ways to kind of decorate the space, start hunting around. So, for example, for this next outlay, obviously I've had to find a priest. I've had to find a priest's outfit. Yes. I still haven't found my little confessional booth. I've had to buy in all the bits to make kitsch badges, so the little Dymo labelled tape in neon colours and all the little kitsch things for those. I've had to source someone.
Did you find yourself cursing yourself for the ideas you had earlier
sometimes, on? Sometimes, because it's such a pressured environment here, so I'm forever writing the copy, and then after I've written the copy with those initial ideas, then I try and make that idea happen. So sometimes it's a little bit hairy pulling it off in time. It does get easier and easier to slot things into kind of appropriate spaces and to think about the flow of people and how to create atmosphere. So kind of for the first couple, I made some mistakes in where I put things and drew people out of the central space. And it's such a large space that you really need to almost limit people's options and try and concentrate them in one area in order to create atmosphere.
You're basically trying to get everyone gathered in one, sort of, even though there are different things going on.
There are different things going on, but the 20th Century Gallery, I've learned, should try and keep that quite high. Highly peopled all the time, so that when people walk in through the door, they immediately see that it's a social space that's filled with light, music, drinks and people.
Okay, so tell me about what you've got coming up.
So we've got three lates that have been broadly programmed for the autumn, which is very exciting. They have only been broadly programmed so far, so all the kind of nuts and bolts still need to be put together.
Yeah.
But on September the 26th, we've got a digital late, part of Brighton Digital Festival. On Thursday the 17th of October, we have got something tying into our big new exhibition, which is Subversive Design. That one's going to be called Provocatively Late. Very excited about that one. And then on November the 7th, we are collaborating with Latin Voices Live to kind of turn the whole museum into a big celebration of Mexico's Day of the Dead. So that would be amazing, I think.
So the goat
really
thing,
lively.
And skulls everywhere.
All of that, yeah. Can't wait.
Cool.
You're listening to Christy T's podcast in association Pavilion and Museums.
So that was Ellie. She's great. She's one of the most dynamic people I've met at the Royal Pavilion, I think. And here's the Rob and Kelly interview about their LGBT trail. And we also talk more generally about LGBT issues in the museum world.
I loved that when you wrote me back, you said you two come as a pair.
Mm-hmm. I like salt, pepper, Kreutzer.
Salt, oh, like pepper. I thought you meant like the R&B duo.
Yeah, that one, go with that one.
That's so you're basically better. Like a pioneering R&B duo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you end up being a team?
We used to work together.
We started off working as shop assistants.
In retail, yeah.
I was upstairs typing, processing invoices. And then he moved upstairs in the way that people did. That's a lot of people enter the pavilion and then they come from retail and they go up.
The booking office is where I work most of the time now.
Unless you're academic and then you sort of tend to come in.
Through academic research.
But I think it was just before Christmas that the workforce development job things went out, and I was looking through them, and I think, I can't remember if I had already applied or not, but I saw this one to do this trail with Laura Waters, and I thought that Kelly would also enjoy it, so I was like, hey, Kelly.
I was going to ignore it, like I do everything that comes through the email, because I'm too busy processing invoices. And then he said he was going to do it. I'm like, hang on, Rob can do it. I can do it.
Yeah.
Rob's not better than me.
And then you applied for it too, and it was all good.
Yeah. So the trail thing comes then over and above your normal jobs here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
It's not anything like what we would normally do at all, which was...
It's kind of curatorial.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the main reason why I wanted to do it, because it was a lot more...
I wanted to do something with collections and interpretation.
Yeah.
It sounded like the more fun bit of anything academic. It's where PR meets academia.
Yeah.
That's how I saw it.
So before our listener gets too confused, mm-hmm. give me an explanation of what this trail is and how you would define it.
Okay,
so it is a trail of mostly objects.
Mostly objects, some paintings.
Yeah. In
that had
the museum.
A sort of a hidden LGBT sort of connection.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, so it could be either that the creator of the object
is gay or
it could be. But then also included in the trail are things like gay history of Brighton, there's also the history of Pride, and they've come from displays that are in the local history gallery, so it's not just about creators of objects, it's just about things that we have that in some way have an LGBT.
To an extent,
history.
You're unlocking that kind of
yeah.
hidden history. I would go around the museum. And however much I'd love all the work, I wouldn't know about that unless someone's going to...
Yeah, it's like an alternative interpretation.
I mean, other museums,
of what we
they do do that now. They have like an extra layer of interpretation, a trail for LGBT or objects of interest to people from different ethnicities or people who are disabled. I've seen them, and that really kind of makes the collection more meaningful
yeah.
and more interesting. Because it's Brighton, I was just really surprised that there wasn't anything like that already.
That's one of the main reasons why we did it as well. When we first started on the project, I remember Laura saying to us that one of the reasons why this is such a good thing for us to do is because they had had quite a lot of comments in the past from visitors saying that they think that the museum should do more for LGBT visitors.
I feel like we should probably mention that we are both gay as well. Otherwise, it's not very obvious why we chose to do that, because originally the brief
yeah,
was
true.
To do with colour.
Yeah, it went through quite a dramatic...
So it wasn't a gay brief in the first
place? No, it went through a very dramatic change.
Yeah.
Quite quickly.
First of all, we were looking for things that were blue.
Because the whole project is being funded by this Wade Interreg project. We automatically just started doing all this research into colour. And so for about the first 3 weeks, I reckon, that we worked mm-hmm. on the project, we were like walking around the museum, trying to find objects that we could do, like history of yellow.
Links really to the Regency colour exhibition yeah. and things that were going on Fabrica during the yeah. festival.
But at that point, it was really difficult, actually.
It was really, really difficult.
And then I think we just came in one time and Laura was like, actually, I think we should do something else. And then she suggested this idea, and me and Kelly were like, yes, let's do it. So much better.
So the link was the pride flag. Because
yes.
it's a rainbow flag, which is colourful.
Yeah.
It's maybe not the strongest link, but we felt that it's
it was
much
a good tangent to go on.
The link doesn't matter, does it? It's the
yeah.
way of bringing people to look at the objects in the museum in a different way. It's
yeah.
really powerful. It's brilliant.
Why do you think so?
Yeah.
How do people access it? How does it work?
Access it by going on to the Royal Pavilion Bright Museum app.
That's one of the things that it is.
There's a trail leaflet as well, which kind of gives you most of the information on the objects. And there are some films on YouTube that you can access through the app that give you a bit more detail about different objects and their history.
Yeah.
So.
The way that I kind of imagine people to do the trail would be to come into the museum, pick up a leaflet from the front desk, and then as you follow the trail round, you can read what's in the leaflet and access the videos by either using the app or by scanning the QR codes which are on the labels. That's how I would do it if it was me.
Word, warning, go around in any order that you feel like. Don't feel like
yeah.
you have to, because it seems to make it twice as long.
Yes.
And the Rosa Bonheur painting isn't in the staircase, it's in the cafe. It's in that region.
The general
you've got it right
area.
To within about
yeah.
5 or 6 metres.
Yeah.
They'll
yeah.
still find it.
And it's a good mix of paintings, there's some ceramics, there's some...
A dress. Your favourite
yeah.
bit, yeah.
The Alexander McQueen dress. Local history, kind of artefacty type stuff downstairs. It's all
so,
sorts of things.
If we were going in the order of the leaflet, it would be... is it Palestry?
can't remember.
The palestrine, the vase with the frieze of bums, the handsome young men from the wrestling school posing around. Yeah. It's a Lalique from the 30s, René Lalique, a famous glass crystal manufacturer.
Oh, we've also got the Grayson Perry vase as well.
Yes, we do. That vase down there, difficult backgrounding. Have you had a look at it?
I haven't, but I will now that you've highlighted it.
I've mentioned it. It's all Peter and Jane type images, children on the surface. He works a lot in surface detail. Behind it, it's burnt out cars, domestic abuse, things like that. It's the impression that he gives, but I think.
Almost like Hogarthian, like exposing things, but not.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm talking about now.
Me neither, okay. But I'm my dad.
Safe ground. You guys yourselves must have learnt a load about stuff in the museum that you didn't know before doing research for this.
Definitely. All of the artists that we researched, I didn't really know anything about before. And some of them I'd never even heard of before. Finding out more about these really interesting characters was one of my favourite things, actually, to do with this project.
I really like finding out about Glyn Philpott. I didn't realise like how important he was to the museum. I mean, a lot of the objects down there, a lot of the paintings down there, are related in some way to this artist, Glyn Philpott. He was like born into a like Christian family, but he was also a homosexual. Do you remember when else that was?
Wasn't it around the 20s?
Yeah, and he was a really famous society portrait painter. So if you go near the entrance to the dome, look on the wall there, there's a portrait of a woman with two girls dressed in yellow. Yeah. That's Glyn Philpott.
Right.
And he made a lot of money. He did. He was really like successful.
That. Yeah.
But at some point, I think he had a crisis, or like a realisation, and he started kind of pursuing his real interest, which was a more allegorical,
religious thing. He moved to Paris, didn't he?
Things.
Didn't he move to Paris and start hanging out with all the, like, kind of cool, slightly unusual painters, and then completely changed his art?
You guys probably know more about the gay history of cultural history now that's contained here than anyone else.
Probably, yeah.
Does that put you in a... Could you imagine pushing for some form of permanent LGBT gallery or exhibition?
It would be very cool if I was. That, well, I don't know. I think it's something that there's definitely potential for in the future. Yeah.
For me as a hetero outsider, really inspiring sort of new way of looking at the museum.
I think it's
great. Ellie has plugged out late, so I'll use her plugging of it, and I'll plug it as well.
I'm sure Ellie has said everything, but there's basically going to be loads of fun stuff.
We're all going to dress as gay icons. You don't have to come dressed up if you hate dressing up.
No, and if you don't, there is fancy dress for you here
you're going to provide some fancy dress.
There is always a fancy dress box here at any of the late events.
Yeah,
it's good.
There'll be some music, a bar.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Obviously, you've got to come on the tour, put on a fake moustache. Just
have your photo taken in the photo booth.
It's going to be a great photo.
Speed dating.
Screen printing.
Some animation.
Pop icon tote bag.
All sorts of fun stuff.
We're just saying nouns.
Yeah. But everyone should go because it'll be really
excellent.
Good.
Oh, that's cool.
Sorry to interrupt. Do you fancy some chocolate tart? We're giving some chocolate tart
away
for free. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much. Cool. Thank you.
She can disturb me to ask for that.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. That's really good. That's going in the podcast.
You know, you don't want to just go to Pride without having first given your outfit a test run.
Definitely.
So I think you should take your outfit to Outlet, see how you feel in it, and then.
And then you've got time to change it.
You have the time.
It hasn't worked. Would you do it again?
Yes, I enjoyed the experience a lot. I thought it would be fun to really get together with my mate and try my hand at doing some interpretation. It feels like something that's a bit distant from your everyday person. You can't, don't think you'd be qualified to do it, but you realise it's just about learning about the stories behind stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, had a really great time.
I initially was kind of drawn to this one because it was a lot more in line with, I studied fine art at university, and so it was a lot more getting involved with displays in a museum, objects and work that we have. So it was, I was more interested in it for that reason. But no, I thought it was brilliant. It was really good. It was nice to research things.
It's easy to forget that when you're just writing invoices and emails all day to get why it's here.
Locked into the admin.
Yes. And you realise, actually this place is really important and exciting.
Actually, it's really nice. I can't believe they're giving them away.
What?
Free chocolate tart's the best.
Yeah.
I think we should have it every day.
It does
sound very cool.
I've got tons of stuff from you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy if you are.
Yes.
Thank you very much for listening. And thank you to Kelly, Rob and Ellie for brilliant interviews. And to the Brighton Museum Cafe for the free chocolate tart. Ellie didn't get any. Please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Then you'll get it automatically uploaded to your device whenever I do a new one. And maybe leave a nice comment. It always helps us propagate and spread the word. Till next time.
You can find links to items discussed in this podcast by going to rawpavilionandmuseums.tumblr.com. For more information on Christy T and links to his writing in residence at the Royal Pavilion and Museums, please visit christyt.com. This is a Wine Cellar production.
I might get one of those as well, actually.
What, pineapple grapefruit?
I think I'll get the apple.
Apple.
No, I'm hot now. That's so funny.